Sammasambuddhassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Retreat series Dhamma Talk number 26. Okay. For quite a few Dhamma Talks, we have been discussing under the major heading of Pamada and Apamada, heedlessness and heedfulness. If you summarize that, the whole thing, our teachers has put us for our understanding, even though we're not in the scripture divided as such, you will see the gross form of heedfulness or heedlessness. Heedfulness is if one is observing the 10 practices or 10 habits which produce suffering. Okay, if one practices those things, then it is heedless. And if you observe and if you refrain from practicing these 10 duchiriya, 10 suffering producing practices, then it is heedfulness. In general, you can say it's the precepts in general. That is the basic, fundamental, gross form of heedfulness. And then the other one is restraining oneself from sense pleasure, six sense pleasure. And if you can restrain yourself and live with the moderation, then it is heedfulness. And if you can't restrain and if you live, or if you give free hand to these six sense pleasure, then it is heedless. Second part. And the third one is the final one is called refined form of heedfulness or heedlessness. Refined form or superior kind of heedfulness, refined form of heedfulness, the highest level. If you put it in one way, if one is practicing full foundation of mindfulness, satipatthana, in full force, then it is heedfulness, apamada. And if one is not practicing, still practicing, but not in the full force, the way Buddha has taught us, then it is heedless. It is not that you don't practice at all, you still practice, but not to the extent of perfection. As the Buddha has instructed us, it is called heedless, pamada. And in there, the Buddha taught us how to be refined form of heedful and refined form of heedless. He taught us in a very different approaches and angles. Okay, we'll just read it in terms of a Pali. It's always start with the kusalanan dhammanam bhavanaya. Okay. If one is accumulating superior form of kusala, wholesomeness, okay, kusala, wholesomeness or kusala karma, to produce the great benefits, if one is practicing what is called bhavanaya, mental culture, mental development. In other words, if one is practicing full foundation of mindfulness, Atteya Sapamada Kuslanandamanam Bhavanaya, you will find that starting in everything that what Buddha taught. And the latter part is the point. Kuslanandamanam Bhavanaya Atteya Sapamado. If one is practicing this heedfulness, refined form of heedfulness, and if one is not practicing respectfully and seriously, then you are heedless. You are still practicing, but you don't pay much respect. Oh, it's run-of-the-mill, superficially, not seriously. Then it is heedless. But if you practice respectfully and seriously, it is heedful. That's one. And the second one, see, Kuslanandamanan Bhavanaya. You know what that means? Already start with. Atatitya Kriyata Pamado. And what is Atatitya Kriyata Pamado? That means if one observation, if one mindfulness is not connected or continuous with another mindfulness, then you have heedless from the refined form. Okay, we are always talking about refined form, not in the middle form or the gross form, refined form. So in here, what it means is, in short, in English, if one is taking a break in your practice, so especially in the retreat, even a short one, 7 days, 10 days, 2 weeks, or 1, 2, 3 months, 6 months. If there are some times, some cases, you feel very tired, exhausted, and you take a break. And if you are taking a break, that means you are heedless. You are not developing refined form of heedfulness. It's a break. Another one is gap. The gap is from one noting to the other, one noting to the other, one noting to the other. And if these notings are not continuous, okay, if there's a gap, then it is not refined form of heedfulness. It is heedless. Heedlessness. So that is the second one. These two, first and foremost, it is respectfully and seriously, and then without a break, without a gap, practicing seamlessly, every mindfulness seamlessly. These two express on a technical level how to do it with precision. Technically teaching, some people are very good at following instruction, technical instruction. And if people follow these two, respectfully and seriously, without a break and a gap, if you can do that, you are being heedful at the refined level. Okay, just those two. And then the Buddha went on to teach us in a different way too. This one is Kusalanandamanan Bhavanaya Odina Vuktita. Okay. Odina Vuktita. What it is in here, you are not slacking. You are not taking an easy ride. You practice boldly and bravely and courageously. Okay? In other words, your practices are not low and vulgar. If you remember the word all. Okay. Low and vulgar, substandard, inferior. And vota is slack, taking a free ride, easy ride. We have talked about in detail already. And if you practice that way, then it is heedless. But if you don't, if you put off bold effort and brave effort and courageous effort, then it is heedful, refined heedfulness. So in here, it is emphasizing on the effort. Okay. People who are very industrious, okay, put great effort in whatever they do. For those people, this approach will be very effective. So they go through that. And the theme it built is, if one set an objective, it one set up a goal. Okay. Of course, something that you want, set up a goal. Then you have a responsibility to reach that goal, to achieve that goal. And you must carry out your duty and responsibility. So that approach Buddha taught us. And then he approached another way for different type of people with different mental state. Kusalanam dhammanam bhavanaya nikita sandattam pamado. Nikita sandattam pamado. And here is, he approaches from the desire. Okay, chanda is a noble desire. Some people, they start something with great desire. Okay. And some people are really effective. Whenever they desire something, they don't stop. They approach, they drive. So this one is aimed towards the people who does things with great desire. Okay. So if you have got that kind of desire, those kind of people, they don't really care what is going to happen, what's going to, whether it is their physical danger met or any form of danger, they don't really care. They only go gung-ho straightforward for their desire, their objective. And with that approach, with that noble desire for those kind of people, he taught this one. Because they call it a chanda cheta, okay? Consciousness with that desire. Chanda cheta, actually it's the very peaceful, okay? Very peaceful, very quiet, very calm states of consciousness. Those have no mental defilements, lobha, dosa, and moha. The mind is not shaken or even vibrating with the mental defilements. That kind of consciousness is called chanda citta. If you practice with that, you achieved it. So in here, the Buddha approaches with a desire, you can reach that kind of a state. And the emphasis on a technical side that he approaches through the vitta and vichara. Okay, vitta, vichara, and then vipassana jhana. Based on the jhana direction, he approached and he taught us. That one. And another one, the last one we have taught, is called kusalanam dhammanam bhavanaya. Anasevana pamado. So you must lean, depend, okay, use and keep it. Okay. What do you depend upon? What do you use? What do you keep? Okay. That is the five mental faculties. Of course, five mental faculty is there, but the way it's put is you must lean on, you must depend upon, you must use it, you must keep it. In what fashion, in what way? As if one depends the air and the water and the food to maintain and to sustain your life. Okay. That kind of importance one has to give. You must depend as if you are taking food. And when you take food too, it varies in whether junk food or a good food, nutritious food or non-nutritious food, and so on. through that approach, Buddha taught us. And these are all, if you don't have it, if you don't do it, it is the, you don't have the refined form of heedfulness. In other words, heedless. If you do it exactly the way he has instructed, then you have the refined form of heedfulness. So these are the different way the Buddha has taught us how to practice this heedfulness, how to achieve this refined form of heedfulness. So if you look at it in here, all different ways. But one thing is, what are we doing, this trying to be heedful or heedless? We are practicing full foundation of mindfulness. Okay. Why do we practice full foundation of mindfulness? We practice this so that we can develop the five controlling mental faculties. That is the fundamental, the basic. We are always developing five controlling mental faculties. Satta, faith, wariya, effort, sati, mindfulness, samadhi, concentration, and pinya, wisdom. These five, you have to develop in such a way it comes to the point of pala pinchendriya. Five controlling mental faculties called pinchendriya or pincha indriya, five controlling mental faculties. But you have to develop to the point it becomes pala pincha indriya, in other words, strong and firm. Five controlling mental faculties. You have to develop to that stage. Strong and firm state. Because that strong and firm, when we can coin the word bala, it becomes strong, powerful, and firm. Because that is the first stage one will reach. The first stage that you have jumped the major hurdle. The significant progress you have reached there. That's why it is pointed towards there. All these things he taught us, of course, eventually we reach to the final objective, Nibbana, the end of all physical and mental suffering. But on the way there, on the journey there, the first stage is to reach that stage. What? Firm, strong, and powerful. Five controlling mental faculties. And to reach that stage, all these different techniques or variations or approaches Buddha taught us, we must practice. Always come back down to five controlling mental faculties. So in here, we develop these five controlling mental faculties to the strong and powerful state. To do that, we use the technique or method or practice of full foundation of mindfulness, observing the mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of the feeling, mindfulness of the mind, and mindfulness of the Dharma. That's the technique we practice. And when we practice, how do we practice? All these variations the Buddha taught us, we practice with these. On the full foundation of mindfulness. So in here you will see the word mindfulness. And then there's another word, heedfulness. Mindfulness, basically mindfulness is sati or satipatthana. Okay? Heedfulness is appamada. Two different word. One is being mindful. Sati, one is being heedful. So they're not exactly the same. But when Buddha teaches us exactly how to practice in there, he used the word mindfulness, satipatthana. But when he taught us how to conduct our whole life, okay, and anytime, every time, whether you are very serious or not very serious, or somewhat in the middle. And there he always reminds us with the word apamada and pamada, heedful and heedless. So that is the way it is, and they are very close. If you are mindful, you become heedful. If you have a heedfulness, definitely you have a mindfulness. But they are two different things, but very close cousin. That is what we have been talking for quite a few last Dhamma talks, heedless and heedfulness. This is the summary of it. We are developing 5 controlling mental faculties. And when we are developing 5 controlling mental faculties, how do we develop? Okay. How do we develop? And how do we develop is, it comes to, we can approach it under the heading of one way is from heedfulness to purity. We can approach that way, from heedfulness to purity. You are heedful and there's a purity. It's just a different words, coining different words and slightly different, just like mindfulness and heedfulness. These two have heedfulness and purity has a connection too. So when you are heedful, you are practicing developing 5 controlling mental faculties. Okay, faith, everything, anything. When one approaches something or take on a project of significance, faith or confidence is the starting point. And then you apply effort, a lot of exertion. Once you have a confidence, you start doing things. And you do things very carefully. Okay, that is the approach we do, and we are doing now is full foundation of mindfulness. When we practice full foundation of mindfulness, the foundation, okay, the foundation to start upon this full foundation of mindfulness is sila. Sila, the right translation is precepts, or you can call it morality. Sila is the foundation. And we all know sila, the minimum as a Buddhist to observe is the 5 precepts. And then on special occasion, when we are practicing, when we want to be with Dhamma, throughout an hour, throughout a day, throughout half a day, throughout months, in those cases, you take 8 or 9 or 10 precepts as a layperson. Of course, if you have a desire, okay, to renounce this world, to renounce a sense pleasure, become a monk and practice seriously, then you observe 227 precepts or rules and regulations that you follow. So those are morality. Let's stick with what we are doing. Okay. There's to be heedful. What is it? We need the basic form of heedfulness is called precepts or 10 suffering producing practice to abandon, to avoid. So when we are practicing, we take precepts, 5 precepts. Every time we started, we take 5 precepts. Or every time we are in a retreat form, we take 8 precepts, 9 precepts. On a full moon days, we take 8 precepts, 9 precepts and observe as much as we can. So when we take these precepts, we don't take it casually. We take it seriously and respectfully, and we make sure during that period we are not going to break it. So when we are practicing this, we always take precepts, and as we put great effort to observe these precepts, we do not break it through that period, throughout the duration. Of course, there are periods before that that you might have broken this or that, but that is one segment. But once you have decided from this moment until to this moment, I will not break it. When you take it, you have this precepts of morality, and you observe with great care and attention. By doing so, what happened? Your precepts or your morality become very pure. In other words, you don't break it. It is faultless. It is blameless. There is no fault to find. Nobody can blame you for anything. That's become faultless and blameless. And if you become faultless and blameless, at that moment, you can see you have reached the purity of sila. You have reached the purity of precepts of morality. In Pali, it's called sila visuddhi. Sila visuddhi. Purity of precepts of morality. That's a fundamental. And here, in a heedfulness, the lowest form of, or the gross form of heedfulness. If you observe the gross form of heedfulness, what type of purity do you reach? You have reached the purity of morality. Okay. Sila visuddhi, purification of morals. That's directly related. Now we are approaching in terms of purity. That's the connection between heedfulness and purity. So we start with that, and of course we practice. And there are many ways, of course, to harness your mind, many techniques, many methods, both samatha as well as vipassana, concentration as well as insight practices. But here we'll talk about insight practice. In insight practice, we observe full foundation of mindfulness. We are not trying to reach to get absorbed into an object or to be in a state of jhana. That is not our objective. Our objective is to be able to observe any physical or mental object that is arising at the present moment. That is our objective. So, based on that objective, we are observing. Okay. Let's say there's a rising movement. We are aware of it from the beginning and stages and right to the end. And there's a falling movement from the beginning to the end. The same thing with lifting, pushing, dropping. You are aware of it. The same thing when you're bending, you know, bending movement, stretching movement. And then thoughts come in. At the beginning, of course, you drift away with thoughts. Slowly and slowly, you are aware of the thoughts instantly when they come. And sometime, even the thoughts stop coming, in some cases, depending on the yogi. But if it stops coming, fantastic. If it comes, but instantly you know, that is also fantastic. Because as soon as you become aware of the thought as it arises, you know, and they are gone. So that means whatever mental defilements that associated with the thought does not have a chance to arise. So in other words, you still maintain that purity of mind. Okay. rising and falling and sitting and touching. You are continuously aware. And you all know if you are precision aware of her from the beginning to the end, at that moment, there is no mental defilements. Lifting and pushing, the same thing. Thoughts come in, the same thing. If that you are catching these thoughts so fast, there is no opportunity for any kind of emotions, okay, negative emotions, or even whether it's a dukkha or sukha can arise. In other words, it's always pure, 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 pure. The mind is pure. To be able to do that, what? Your observation must be continuous from one object to the other, one object to the other, one object to the other. And that can be achieved through the great effort, ardent effort. Without that ardent effort, it's not. And it's even more difficult because it's a multi-object meditation, not just focusing on one only. So, the mind is very pure. Why? Because of the ardent effort you are applying onto the object that is arising. And according to heedfulness, what are you establishing? You are establishing, you are observing with great care and respect and seriousness, and you don't have any break and you don't have any gap. That is in terms of heedfulness. But now here, all these consciousness or all these awareness coming one after the other, there is no mental defilements, no lobha, no dosa, no moha. In other words, every consciousness that arises one after the other, or you can say every awareness that arises one after the other, they have no mental defilements. In other words, they are pure. When there's no mental defilements, they are called pure. So what happened? You have reached the consciousness states where there is a purity. In other words, you have reached the purity of consciousness. Chitta visuddhi. Chitta is consciousness. Visuddhi is purification or pure, purified. So that's called chitta visuddhi. Okay? The first one is what? Sila visuddhi. Purity of morality. Second one is Chitta visuddhi, purity of mind. And here, directly correlating with the heedfulness, refined form of heedfulness. When there's a heedfulness, these arises. Now we have two forms of purification or purity we have reached just from observing. But how? We must observe exactly as Buddha has instructed. Purity of mind or purity of consciousness have reached. Two levels of purity. And then we are observing. When we are observing, what happened? Okay. There's a rising movement, you observe. When you observe at the beginning, of course, rising, falling, and there's the rising movement of the abdomen or stomach, falling movement of the abdomen or stomach. How's your mind take it? It doesn't say my abdomen is rising or my abdomen is falling. But at the same time, there's a sense of identification. This is my stomach and my abdomen. In other words, there's a I, okay. My is moving. You observe that. And then slowly and slowly, when your concentration become, power become stronger, okay, refer back to the purification of mind. That means concentration becomes stronger. slowly and slowly, there's a movement. Occasionally, not identify with my stomach or my abdomen, the shape or the form or the sense of stomach is still there. And then slowly and slowly, finally, there's a no sense or awareness of shape or form or color. Then there's no sense of my at all. Simply there's a vibration. Simply there's a vibration. And you're aware there's a vibration. Just like now, we are hearing that fan going around and there's a sound. The sound's going on. And you hear it. And you have no connection to that sound and you. You are one thing. That sound is one thing. You have a vivid understanding of it. Okay? Separateness of that sound and your awareness. And in here, it's exactly the same. That vibration of movement is just like the sound of the fan, and you are aware of it. That's two things. So what it is you began to understand this my body, my stomach, my abdomen, starting to break down, the sense of I break down, and you see them in its own nature. Whether it is a vibration or movement or stiffness or pressure, hardness or softness or cold or hot. Okay, all the different variations and presentation of these four great elements, earth, wind, fire and water. You sense them, you know them as if you are hearing that sound of the fan, totally unconnected with so-called I, nothing to do with me. Then that you truly understand the nature of rupa, what rupa is. This what we call my body is not my body anymore. It is simply a material phenomenon, material process. Not intellectual thinking, but simply knowing as is. And also that awareness. At one point, awareness is, I am aware. I am aware. That kind of awareness is coming. But when the mind becomes, the consciousness becomes pure, okay, the purity of consciousness is reached. At that moment, what happens is, especially if you are observing multi-objects meditation, okay, with the precise technique of knowing the beginning and the end, when you do like that, what happens is automatically that awareness itself, you can begin to see and sense. It is the simply awareness arising and passing away, directly in relationship, in connection with the object that is arising. The object arises, there's an awareness of knowing that arising of the object. Object pass away, there's a passing away of the awareness along with the object. That kind of sharp and distinct feeling or knowing arises. Okay, before it is I know. Now it is simply, it is a knowing phenomenon that is going. So in other words, you begin to understand this is rupa, this is materiality, this is nama, this is mentality. That kind of understanding arises. That kind of view arises. The view of this mind and body, nama and rupa. Before nama and rupa is my body, I am aware, I know, my consciousness now is simply as the phenomenon going. And that is view. What is view? View is deity in Pali. Okay. Mitcha deity is the wrong view. Okay. Samadhiti, which means the right view. Wrong view and right view. But in general, when you hear the word deity, it is considered as a wrong view. So in here, you begin to have the correct view of what the mind is and the correct view of what the body is, nama and rupa. In other words, your views are correct and right. You have the right view. And that right view is called the deity visuddhi, deity purification of view. You have reached that stage. Deity visuddhi, purification of view. Purification of view is right there. Even though we are splitting topics and headings and talking differently, it is the same thing. We are practicing the same thing. And in there we are showing how it is, what it is arising. Okay? Purification of morality, purification of mind, and purification of view. And in here, you keep observing the same thing. Rising, falling, lifting, pushing, thoughts, feeling, pain, pleasure, sensation, all these things. And in here, let's say, simply you're observing. Lifting, pushing, dropping, lifting, pushing, dropping. Okay. And then what happens is, suddenly you become aware that lifting doesn't happen without an intention. Because of the intention to lift, it's lifted. Because of the intention to push, the foot moved forward. Because of the intention to drop, the foot dropped. Okay. Not thinking, not figuring out. Just a simple sense. Just an imprint in your mind, that's how it becomes. So what it means is, in other words, intention is the cause, lifting is the effect. Intention is the cause, pushing forward is the effect. Intention is the cause, dropping is the effect. In other words, there's a causal relationship, cause and effect, cause and effect, cause and effect. Intention is the cause. And what is intention? Intention is citta, consciousness. What is intention? Intention is the mental phenomenon. Once you have reached that purity of view, you don't look intention as my intention or I am intending or my desire. You don't look that way anymore. So simply put, you began to see the causal relationship, how the mind and the bodies work, cause and effect, cause and effect, cause and effect. Okay? You see that causal relationship. And then also, what? When you are lifting, you see the lifting movement and then disappearance of the lifting movement. Pushing movement, disappearance of the pushing movement. Dropping movement, disappearance of the dropping movement. The same with rising and falling movement, and so on and so on. You begin to see the beginning and the end, beginning and the end, beginning and the end quite clearly. You see all these things work through the network or a system of cause and effect. And what is happening is your view become even clearer. Before, you simply just have a right view, samadhiti. In other words, it is nama and rupa, it is not I. It is nama and rupa, It is not a soul or a self. Just a general view. Now you see the intricate detail within that view, causal relationship, arising and passing away, arising and passing away. And when you see that, what happened was you have more clarity, deeper understanding into this, the nature of mind and body, or the nature, what we call self. In other words, your doubts. Okay, first of all, doubt. Now it's detail. Detail your doubts into maybe this way, maybe that way. Couldn't be this way, couldn't be that way. These kind of questions disappear because you don't need to ask the questions. You can see these details operation through causal relation and through rising and passing away, these two nature. And when you see that way, it's called Kinkha Visarana Visuddhi. Okay. Kinkha is basically doubt or vichikicca. Kinkha is vichikicca or doubt. Visarana. Visarana is free from, escape from, not having. Visuddhi, purity. And vichikicca, this doubt. Doubt about what? About the nature of mind and matter. In other words, this nature of mind and matter as we are experiencing is taught by the Buddha. So, doubt in the Buddha, doubt in his teaching, Dhamma, doubt in his Sangha. The great sages who follow the Buddha's path, we become clear from those doubts. That's called Kinkha Visarana Visuddhi. Purification of doubt. The four levels already, and all that we are doing was we are developing five controlling mental faculties to a stage so that it becomes bala, strong and powerful. When you become strong and powerful, you see all these things and you achieve all these things. You already see the four levels of purification. Purification of sila, morality, purification of mind, citta, purification of view, deity, purification of doubt, full level already. And it is simply just reaching the bala, firm and strong level. If you want to correlate in terms of the insight level, remember, the first and basic is called Nama Rupa Paricchera Jnana. Okay? Discriminative awareness between mind and body. Pichaya Parigraha Jnana. It is the causal relationship between mind and body. Samasana Jnana. You began to see the three marks of life. Dukkha, anicca, dukkha, anatta, impermanent suffering and non-self nature. You got a peep into it. And then clarity of passing, arising and passing away. With clarity, with no doubt, with no confusion. That is the Udayabhaya Jnana. Okay? Insight into the knowledge of arising and passing away. If you look in terms of insight level, that's what it is. If you look in terms of purification, we have just set it out. And also, what are we doing? We are observing the gross level of refined, gross level of maya, heedfulness, medium level of heedfulness, and the refined form of heedfulness. We just simply develop up to this level. And that is the first obstacle, major obstacle for our puttujana. If you have passed that obstacle, if you have reached that goal, which means you have developed the five controlling mental faculties to the strong, firm, and powerful level. At this stage, you are called Sula Sotapanna, stream enterer. Sula is a junior stream enterer. Not full-fledged yet, junior. What does the junior Sotapanna means? That person will not be reborn in the full woeful state in the next life. One life guarantee. So this is just a little side explanation based on the heedfulness and heedlessness, and try to pull in with the Visuddhi Magga as a part of your vocation. We touch the first four. So may all of you be able to practice this Satipatthana Vipassana meditation, and may you be able to develop the five controlling mental faculties to strong, firm, and powerful level and attain Sula Sotapanna, the junior stream enterer, as soon as possible. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Buddham bhujjami. Dhammam bhujjami. Sangham bhujjami. Thank you very much.